This is 88.5 FM. I'm Andy Chanley, and it's my pleasure to welcome into the studio for a live session, Nada Surf. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Andy.
Matthew Cause, the main face, the one you associate with the band most often, is joining us today. The new album is Never Not Together. It's due in a couple weeks here, February 7th, and you just played last night at the Troubadour. The start of the tour was what, up in Seattle?
Just two days ago? About a week ago, yeah.
And now after this, you're off across the country.
That's right, down a little bit, over, up, yeah.
And around the world, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to tell you that the first time, well, this is the first time we met, but the first time I really knew that I loved Nada Surf music was, I played the song Popular back in the 90s when I was on the radio in another city. And I liked it. But then I was driving around, 11 years ago last week is when Indy 103.1 went off the air, radio station was here. And I wanted to work there. It was just the greatest station. Mm. I was driving around in 2002, I guess, and I heard Happy Kid.
Mm.
And I'm like, those lyrics are great. It really takes me somewhere specific, and it's very cinematic. I like that song. Then I heard it again. Then I go out and buy the album because of that. And then I'm like, oh, it's the Popular guys.
Oh,
and,
great.
And it pulled it all together. And
awesome.
Ever since then, been following your career. We're entering the fourth decade of music with this band.
Oh, wow. I have to think about that.
It's been 30 years.
I guess it has been. Well, this band really formed in 1993. But, I mean, I've been playing with Daniel, the bass player, since I was 16.
Wow.
15. So, you're right. It is four decades.
Not many people get a chance to have a career that long.
Have you
taken stock in that lately?
A little bit. I mean, when I get asked the question, I definitely do. I don't think I ever dared to dream that it would go on this long. But the thing is, I wasn't the kind of kid who dreamed that way anyway. I didn't have the astronaut or fireman or police or race car driver. Right. Like, it just never happened, And I was a dreamer, but I think maybe in smaller portions.
Well, and even if you were a dreamer to be a recording artist,
yeah,
this is your ninth album.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
To say, okay, I'll have 100 songs on albums.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Yeah,
no, I never
great.
Thought that way. But I feel very grateful for sure.
Let's hear one of those 100 songs. This is from the new album we're going to hear?
Yeah. I'll play the third single off the new record, So Much Love.
Excellent. You've been hearing that here lately on 88.5 FM. Nada Surf on 88.5.
Any day, any hour, not feeling fine. The weight of the world must have read my mind. I can't find the thread and I cannot glide. I need a tow up to clear blue sky. Out of thin air there's an inner smile. Reminds me to search for a secret dial. It's always in reach, hiding in plain sight. I always forget, but it's always right. So much love in the air. So much love, it's always there. How much love trapped inside? So much love, show it some light. The world is all flavors all the time. The dark ages had the same sunny skies. In the summer of love we were at war. We have all these feelings, don't know what for. It's not easy to choose, but it can be done. You're never alone, not the only one. Just trying to be good and be less fake, but not beat myself up when I make mistakes. So much love I can feel. So much love, it must be real. How much love I can't say. Just know I need to get out of its way. So much love for your friends. When you feel off, think of them. So much love in your dreams. So much love in the days in between. Feel that love, it must be true. Love, it's what we do. mind. The weight of the world must have ripped my mind. So much love in the air, so much love, it's always there. How much love? I can't say, just know I need to get out of its way. I'll fight to stay open, I'll fight to stay wild. I'll seek better nature, I'll find it like a child. How much love do you need? If you look hard, it's in all you see. How much love do you want? It won't let you down, it's never gone. So much love I can feel, so much love, it must be real. How much love trapped inside? So much love, show it some light.
88.5 FM with Not a Surf, live in the studio. That song, So Much Love, that you've been hearing here on 88.5 here lately is a second single that we've been playing off this new album, Never Not Together, that's out in a few weeks. Matthew Caws with us here. The lyrics.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I love about your music most of all, and there are so many of them. Yeah. When... I always think it's insipid, the question when I hear an interviewer say, what comes first, the lyrics or the melody? But for you, I would have to imagine the lyrics loom large in the process.
Well, they come together. You know, I've tried, like, I think about that question a lot, and I've certainly filled a lot of notebooks with the aspirational lyrics where I was like, this is going to be a song, and it's not, you know? And I've filled a lot of tape with little bits of music. But in general, the ones that stick are a musical idea and a lyrical idea that are just one little package. It's like one sentence with three chords attached to it, just like a little thing, literally like a hook that I just hook a lot of things on, and I just try and water it and see what happens and take it further. So they really come together. And, you know, some people say that too, you know, the syllables affect the melody affects the feeling affects the words, right. You know, it's all together.
Yeah. Talk about collaboration a little bit. I know in the last album you did some with Dan Wilson.
Dan Wilson,
who was just in here a few weeks ago. And I read a tweet of his the other day. He was talking about the rules of collaboration.
Yeah.
First rule is try it before you say no.
Yeah,
and those kinds of things. Have you, you've been doing this, you know, 30-some years now. Yeah. Have you discovered any universal truths about songwriting that you carry with you, that you tell young artists, because I know some are listening?
Well, I certainly don't have anything nearly as wise and philosophical as Dan. What I would say to young songwriters is find Dan Wilson on Instagram and follow him there, because...
And he'll probably answer you, and he's a nice guy.
Pearls, he sang with us last night at the Troubadour.
Really?
Yeah,
awesome.
he did Rushing, a song that we wrote together. It was incredible. I felt very lucky, but yeah, I would definitely follow him. For me, I think to really, like, always just bring it back to exactly what you're thinking in that moment, and your feelings, any feeling can be a song if you just kind of explore it a little bit, you know. I wouldn't know what to do with this moment, you know, like that we're having an inner conversation. That's not really something, you know, that this room is going out to other people, that you see things from a distance, you know, that there's metaphor, like, and everything.
Yeah.
You know, if you just, like, let yourself be playful about it.
Be open to it.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about Rick Ocasek. I know in 1995, you know, he championed your music and decides to produce your debut album.
Mm-hmm.
And we just lost Rick a few months ago. To me, I never met him, but I think he was one of the most transformative figures in music in the last 50 years. I thought the Cars were really something special.
Yeah.
Tell me and speak a little bit to what he meant to you.
Well, he was like a father figure, and it's not that I saw him that often, but you know, I went to his house a bunch of times before making our first record, and it felt like he really took me under his wing, and I wrote a little piece about it for NPR a little while ago, and I always get self-conscious about just repeating things I've written down, but basically the thing is that. I handed him a cassette. I saw him walking into the Knitting Factory in New York while I was walking out, and I was a big fan of his. And a couple of weeks before that, I'd sat next to Mitch Easter on a subway, and I'd had a tape in my bag, and I was too shy to give it to him. and I thought I really shouldn't let that happen again.
Guy that produced R.E.M. and
Yes. And so I gave this tape to Rick, and he was very kind about it. I said, "Is your number on it? Thanks a lot." And he called me a couple of weeks later and invited me to his house. And I don't mean to pay myself any compliments, but the thing is, he said something very kind. Well, Paulina said it. His wife, Paulina Partskova, right?
Right.
She's famous too. So they made me feel really at ease. And I sat at the kitchen table, and he was making some coffee, even though it was nighttime for both of us. And Paulina says, "He likes your phrasing." And I still get emotional just thinking about it, because it was so kind. And it was the first time anybody outside of my immediate friends had seen something or had said something that maybe I was good at something, you know.
That's amazing.
And that really like meant a lot to me. The other thing he did that was incredible was that when we were making our first record, you know, we're very excited and it's high pressure, but we're also like, we're not like super scared because the adventure is moving so fast that you almost don't have time, you know, to take a lot of them. But we're definitely, he could tell I was a pretty wired person. I've calmed down a lot as I get older. But I mean, in terms of nervousness and, you know, all kinds of things. Like, I used to be shy. I'm not shy anymore just because I've been on stage so much. But you know.
That's intimidating. A lot of nervous energy. You would imagine you'd have that in a big studio.
Yeah. And so every time we cut a song, we do like three takes, and invariably we are all like, take two or three because I made fewer mistakes. He's like, "Well, I think it's take one, but why don't you take these tapes home and you tell me in the morning?" He's always right. So it was always the early takes because he knew the energy was better. And so when we picked a take, he would say, "I'd like you to do a rough vocal. Go out there in the room and just sing it once." And then I'd sing it. And be like, "Okay, just sing it one more time." Okay. So then we work on the guitars for a week, and we basically kind of wrap up the album, and all that's left is vocals, and I'm kind of nervous. I'm like, "Rick, is it time to do the vocals?" He said, "You're done." And so even though now I work on them more, I don't just do, you know, I don't do just two takes and leave it alone. I definitely like tweak it out a little bit. But he knew that it would probably get worse. But he was protecting me from myself, you know, and that was like a really kind and very gentle way to do it. He got me to do the best that I could do. And just sparing me the big moment of like red light fear.
That's great.
You know, super kind.
Will you play us another song?
Yeah.
What's it going to be this time?
This will be one from You Know Who You Are. This is called Friend Hospital.
All right. This is Not a Surf, live with us today in 88.5 FM.
Traveling daily by the hour, moods cloudy, mountains, ideas like towers, choosing sides, digging in, then changing hearts and minds, a chafing from all the rearranging. I will not lose you or be the blues to you. Friend hospital, wild sadness, new weakness. I wish the sun would come through the walls and find you wherever when you call. Give you the time and the will that you want. When you can't always learn, you can't always get what you haunt. You new weakness. Wild sadness, new weakness.
Imagine a guitar solo.
Fantastic cemetery, reading from a list of your greatest hits. You're dropping them all the time. It's like landing on my favorite planet when you're crackling through the line. So glad you called. Sharp advice saves my life. So much better that we're not together. I will not lose you or be the blues to you. Friend hospital, wild sadness, new weakness. Wild sadness, new weakness. Wild sadness, new weakness. Wild sadness, new weakness.
FM with Not a Surf and a Friend Hospital. That's gorgeous. We're talking to Matthew Caws here, and I wonder, the lyrics we were talking about, how they're so literary. Mm-hmm. Your parents were both university professors, and you have a long line of educated people as your ancestors. Do you think you would have ended up in this place inevitably, you know, even if you had a family that watched you know, Smokey and the Bandit on a loop all the time? Or is there some thanks that's owed to the people before you who had you, led you towards a more serious education?
Yeah, I might have ended up in roughly the same place, but a lot of thanks too, and maybe just slightly different. I mean, I'm the black sheep of the family in that regard. Like, I went to college and stuff, but I'm not nearly as like well-read as my parents or my sister or anything. But what I got a lot of interesting things from them. My dad's a philosopher, and he's always been very interested in kind of a kind of useful morality. He grew up in a fundamentalist Christian cult in England, who are not allowed to speak to people from the outside. They're very insular.
Wow.
When he grew up, they were just a strict sect, but then when he was in his 20s, they shut down, so he never saw his parents again. I never met my grandparents. Because I was the son of a fallen son, that kind of, sorry, I just hit the microphone, I'm sorry. So, and he's a love, my father is a wonderful and very, very kind man, but thought a lot about systems and what was wrong with certain kinds and what is unfair about certain kinds of closedness in religion. Anyway, so that got from him a kind of humanist perspective that again, for me, isn't educated. I didn't study it, so, but just a kind of inherent sense of fairness, maybe, or empathy. Mm-hmm. And then my mother is a fanatic about surrealism and like certain French poetry movements and stuff and art. And she's just all over the place. She's in three departments in her university. And what I got from her is just this enthusiasm. You know, she just really loves what she loves really hard. And I feel like something of that got to me, because I do too, you know. And I like all kinds of things, you know, every genre of music, you know. I especially happy when I like like a Billboard top pop song. You know, it doesn't happen often, but when I do, I'm like, man, I feel like I'm joining the rest of the planet. This is great. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I have no skeletons in my closet. I'm not embarrassed about anything I like, and I like a lot of junk and a lot of good, you know, high and low and whatever, you know. So
not
I don't
guilty
know.
Pleasures.
No, no.
Do you remember your first instrument?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it a guitar?
It was a guitar. My aunt, my dear Aunt Peg, who's turning 95 on February 6th, oh, lives in Wilmington, North Carolina. And she was the first... my parents played records a lot, just classical music, but she was the first music I saw. And she had a lovely finger-picking style and would play Blowing in the Wind and On Top of Old Smokey. And
nice.
And I loved it. And she gave me my first guitar and showed me my first chord. And I owe her everything in that regard.
How old were you?
I was like 11 when she gave me a guitar. She bought one for my dad and it never took. And so she gave it to me and showed me one chord. And I'd already heard the Ramones.
Right.
And so I took that one
That's
chord.
All you need.
I took that one chord and played it for 20 minutes and I was thrilled. And the other thing is that I was like, chord, wow. And then just for fun, I thought, what if I move it up? And I'd heard like flamenco music. So that was like, what? And then what if I move it over? Oh, you know, like just this one shape moving around. And
that's amazing. So
a lifetime of fun after that. Yeah.
Can we hear another song from
you? Yeah. So this is another one off the new record. It's called Looking for You. And I just want to explain a tiny bit. It's there's an old saying that what you seek is seeking you. And I'd never heard it until last year. I don't know how I came across
that.
Yeah. And I love the idea that what you're looking for, whether it's a solution, peace, a better self, motivation, whatever it is out there somewhere as a spirit or an animal or a shadow or something looking for you. And that every time you take a step towards it, that's like sending a signal and it hears you and it'll come closer. Now, I don't think this is true, but I love it as a... As
an abstract idea.
Yeah, and I love, and things that aren't true can really be useful. You know, there's a great expression about bravery that faking bravery is just as good because it's the same effect. I'm not very brave, but I'm saying, you know, like if you can pretend to be brave, you can...
That's the bravest.
Then yeah, right.
You know you're in trouble.
Right. So this idea that like, if the idea that what you're looking for is out there looking for you can help, I think it's a wonderful one to embrace. And the song is about that.
In the middle of a sleepless night, it sneaks in through my window. It takes its time, it stays nearby till I get down to zero. When I get so tired that I'm ready for a drink, I almost go downstairs where there's a bottle waiting for me if I find my way there. Here's where it speaks, asking me to freeze, whistling diamond days, telling me my dreams, and I'm looking for that high vibration. It's fading, but I'll tell you what I know. I believe it will unlock every station. I believe it will untie every rope. A doctor asked me to describe what I thought was my mission. I tried to think of something deep. It seemed beyond description. He said, it's right in front of you. It's only to be well, to take the days just as they come and try to ring some bells. And I'm ready for that high vibration. It's faint, but I'll tell you what I know. I believe unlock every station. I believe it will untie every rope. It loves you and it's headed for your window. It loves you and it's coming to your home. What you're looking for is looking for you too. What you're looking for is looking for you too. What you're looking for is looking for you too. Don't move. What you're looking for is looking for you too.
FM with Not a Surf in the studio for a live session. Just really enjoyed this today. This has been great.
Oh, man, thank you.
Matthew Cause joining us here. One last question before we let you go. I ask this a lot because the answers often are interesting to me. And I think I may know what the answer you'd give, but if you weren't making music professionally, what do you think your vocation would be?
I probably would have fallen into something like being an English teacher or something for a while, but then I've lately become, the last couple of years, I've been really fascinated by one idea. If I can take, maybe I can do it under 2 minutes, you know, once in a while I post something kind of political on Facebook or something, and a couple of times there's been a kind of flamey, a little flame war, like somebody getting in there and just shooting it up, you know, just shooting everybody, you know what I mean? I've found that I have a capacity to tolerate difficult conversation. Maybe not so much in person, although a little bit, you know, as long as it doesn't get violent. But I found that with these people, I could talk to them and talk them down a little bit. So I'm really fascinated by the idea of civility. I understand why people do it, but I'm sad when it's like, if you support the other side, don't ever talk to me again. It's like, you know, we are going to really need each other when there's a water shortage or something, or when there's like, when there are really big problems.
And even small ones.
And so I have a deep belief that if you can just talk to somebody about something else, like talk about the movies a little bit, you know. So I think I'd end up in conflict resolution. My father had a friend, another philosopher, who had a program where he would get people from opposing sides of a conflict, like Ireland and Northern Ireland, or Israel and Palestine, and bring people from both sides to a gathering place where there'd just be like cookies and soft drinks, and put them around a big table and encourage them to talk about anything. And invariably, they came away with some kind of slightly lifted perspective of the humanity of the other side. And this is really Pollyanna kind of pie in the sky stuff in a way, except that I think it really works. I'm defending myself by saying this because I know I sound like overly positive, but I just believe there's a lot of work to be done in that area of just softening the edges just a little. You know?
Sure. Civility is something
yeah.
there is not too much of
yeah.
in the world right now.
Yeah.
The new album is called Never Not Together. It comes out here in a few weeks on February the 7th. And out on tour, you did the show last night at the Troubadour, so you won't be back here playing live. But next time you do, I hope you come by. I had high hopes for this session and it exceeded
all. Oh, right on. Thank you. And I'm sorry if that the last answer was very long. But so thank
no,
you for thank you for giving me the space.
I think it's a great answer. Right. And by the way, if you're listening and this is the first time you're exposed to Not a Surf, he didn't just get lucky. All the songs are that good. So go and check the back catalog as well. But Matthew Cause, Not a Surf, thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much, man. Thank you.
This is 88.5 FM.